Right about here is where the theme music. Dun 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 dun. Pretty good, huh? I remembered it. It's by Spyro Jar. Great, great song. Okay, go ahead, Nat. Just say something. We'll just.
Okay. I don't know. Okay.
And you don't have to worry about this. I'll take care of this.
Yeah. Okay.
If
sure.
If I reach across here, just ignore me.
Right.
And just look at each other, and just be natural.
Okay.
As natural as you can be with a microphone in your mouth.
Exactly.
Act natural.
Sure.
Alrighty. Should we go ahead and get started?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. You gonna make some more noise first?
Yeah. Okay, ready? Squeak, squeak. Yeah. Okay, here we go. Okay, now we're ready.
Okay.
We do that live on the air as a problem. Okay.
Alright.
Good evening. I'm Bill Campbell, and welcome to Straight Talk, the radio program produced by and about students. Tonight we're coming to you on slightly tape delayed from Valdez, Alaska, located kind of southeast of Anchorage. And it's also became famous, if you will, because of the Valdez Exxon spill last summer. Myself and Dave Breen, my engineer, came on down to talk to a couple of students about how the Exxon oil, Valdez oil spill affected them and other teenagers in their community. So joining me from the KCHU studios here in Valdez, I have Nat Reichman, I'm sorry for slaughtering her last name, and also Gail Staker. Both of them are students here in Valdez and have lived here for a few years. We'll go ahead and start with Nat. Thank you for coming on, first off. And how long have you lived here in Valdez, and a little bit about yourself?
Well, actually, I came in a couple weeks before the oil spill, and I started school, and it was all pretty interesting. And all of a sudden, the oil spill news just kind of struck us.
Did you live here previously to that, though?
Yeah. In fact, I was here a couple of years ago for a while. Mm-hmm. And it was actually very interesting having the Alyeska terminal right across the bay.
All righty. And also, Gail.
I've lived here 13 years. I moved here from Anderson, Clear, thereabout, and I've been here quite some time. When the oil spill hit, my dad was called in the middle of the night because he works across the bay, too.
What,
maintenance supervisor, I do believe.
Does he is. Over at the terminal?
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about Valdez before we get going. Some people, you know, in Fairbanks may not be familiar with Valdez. How large is Valdez? Just an estimate.
Well, there's actually a lot of controversy in the town about the population. Some people tend to think it's about 2,000 or 3,500, maybe. That's in between.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's also, Valdez, we flew in this afternoon, and it was gorgeous because Valdez sits right, I mean, the mountains. You have the mountain and maybe 2 miles of land and then the ocean. Valdez is kind of built right along inside there. What are your major industries here in Valdez?
Well, we've got the fishing industry, and of course, I've usually thought that the biggest thing here was the oil.
Mm-hmm.
There's quite a bit of that, and I guess that's about it, really.
Gail, you're saying your father worked over at the terminal. How many years has he worked over there?
Well, that's the reason we moved here, was because he had a job there. He used to work at the Clear power plant, so he was sort of associated with it, and we moved over here because of the job opportunity that he had
mm-hmm.
over here. And then my mom works over at the airport. She's worked there for a couple of years now, so my parents were both very affected by this because, you know, mom had to deal with everything, you know, people coming in looking for jobs, you know, and the people weren't always that nice. They weren't always cooperative, you know, and my dad had a lot of it too. So, you know, they were both very fed up with and they're glad it's winter now because a lot of people have left.
We also visited Cordova on this trip, and Cordova is primarily a fishing community. And they were saying, like most fishing communities, that during the summer, the population sometimes, you know, doubles or triples in a town, the, you know, 2,000, 3,000 people. All of a sudden you get 5,000 in here fishing, and they're here for 3 months out in the fishing boats. Did Valdez grow, you know, fill up with more people than usual because of the oil spill?
Definitely. No doubt. They usually come here for the canneries and the fishing, you know. The summer, it always increases. You know, there wasn't anything different about it increasing. It just that it increased more.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, actually, some people said there were 8,000 people here.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, yeah, quadruple the.
Yeah. And, you know, there's some stories of people saying it's even 10. But.
Plus with the stories that the military was supposed to come in. There's supposed to be thousands of them. We're expecting them any day. So, you know, it's full enough as is with them coming in. Because there are rumors about it. I don't think they ever really came in. I didn't notice. Well, sell some uniforms, but that's about it.
Uh-huh. Well, before we get into the oil spill, a little bit more about Valdez, just kind of sparked something I just thought of. What do you have here, for instance? You're saying people rumored. Is Valdez, you know, is it so small that you still have a lot of rumors and whatnot going around? Or is there a newspaper that, you know, kind of factuates things here?
Well, yeah, I guess there is a lot of rumors. My dad, during the time of the oil spill, was actually working at the Sugarloaf Saloon here in Valdez. And that was very interesting because he heard a lot of the news from a different perspective. You got people, you know, coming in that were working in the spill. You got people from all different, you know, places that had something to do with the spill. And so he'd come home with some very interesting stories about conflicting ideas and how much the media really messed up on their information.
Which I definitely want to ask you about, seeing how I guess we are kind of the media too. About Valdez before the oil spill. We know it was a lot of fishing, a lot of oil. People obviously came in a lot more during the summer because of the fishing. Has Valdez always kind of been a friendly town? I mean, Gail, you growing up, especially when you were real little, was Valdez always friendly? Did you always know everybody here?
Well, in the summer definitely changes everything. In the winter, I'm basically, you know, I still have restrictions and stuff, but when the summer comes around, my parents don't let me go out nearly as much, and I always have to have somebody with me because, you know, there's more people, and we don't know them. That's the thing. So we usually, you know, there's more restrictions put on you because the safety is not as high as it would usually be if it was just everybody in Valdez. So yeah, but everybody pretty much knows each other, you know. It's just how it is, except the summer. Mm-hmm. That's a different story.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm afraid that's a little paranoid, Gail. But
yeah,
I came from New Mexico. And here, it was very different. I mean, it's such a small town that everybody really knows each other. And it was incredibly friendly. It really amazed me to have people that I've never seen before have come down and say, you're the new people here, you know. So it is a small town in that sense. Mm-hmm. And in the summer, it does fill up. It's a lot more interesting people, I guess, in some ways, and it's bigger.
You know, they always I'm from Fairbanks. I was born in Fairbanks, and we obviously are about as far removed from as a fishing town, you know, as a Alaskan community can get. But you always hear the rumors of hear a rumor mill again. But you always hear people say, "Oh boy, when the fishermen come down for the summer, things just get rowdy and get out of hand." And that's kind of you kind of touched on that, Gail. How your parents don't let you go out. Is it really that rowdy before the kind of going before the oil spill here, when the fishermen would come to town?
Well, the people my parents worry about is the cannery workers, you know. I'm not blaming on my parents or anything, you know. I'm somewhat paranoid, but, you know, it is. I mean, I've met a lot of nice people here in the summer, you know, and I wish I could keep in touch with them, but they're just moving around all the time. But, yeah, it's. I like it. It's fine.
How is that, you know, as far as being in school, you know, in high school and whatnot, when people are coming and going that much? I mean, do you really? I know in Fairbanks we can have the same problem because we have a lot of military in Fairbanks. And a lot of military, you know, the students will be there for a year and phew, they're gone. You know, just as you get to know somebody, they're transferred off to another base. Is that, you know, so I'm kind of working on before the oil spill here, is that common here in Valdez too?
Well, the Coast Guard people. Yeah, you know, they'll stay for 3 or 4 years, and then they'll leave. So that does affect the school in some ways. But not as much as I would imagine for a military type in Fairbanks. There's pretty much a solid group of kids who have been here and probably will be here.
Right. It seems like most people who come down and fish or work the oil spill don't bring kids with them. But let's talk a little bit about fishing. Again, when we were in Cordova, I was talking to a girl there, and she said she was telling about a friend of hers, a young lady, probably 26, 27, and she had a couple of kids and, of course, a husband and whatnot. And she was complaining how the husband, for 3 months during the fish season, is out on the boat, you know, and the lady's left basically, you know, without the husband for the 3 months there to take care of the kids. How is it, you know, both of you live here, and I don't know, you like said your dad works in the terminal, Gail, and I suspect come summer he works a lot more hours. How is that? Is that tough on the family?
It is, but his hours basically don't change. He works every other week he has to be there 6 in the morning to 6 at night now that he had a promotion and such. And I don't know, with the oil spill, his hours weren't increased that much. It was my mom's that really went.
Out at the airport?
Yeah.
What about work for high school students. In the summer, most people work. Most high school students don't work in the winter because they're going to school, so they look for summer jobs. Do most of them work fishing in the summer or cannery work, or what do the locals do?
The older kids do that are like 18 and such. I mean, I know a couple that have quit school when the oil spill came about to work there, you know, and they have fancy cars now, some of them, you know, but they blew it all too fast. But they go for summer jobs more than the winter jobs, but there's still a lot of winter jobs. Anyway, I had a summer job that was for summer fun. It was like a day camp for kids, and it was with Parks and Recreation, and you know a lot of kids doing that, you know, and you see, you share their views and such. It's really neat. I liked it.
Yeah, I feel that there are a lot of jobs available for kids here in Valdez, but the oil spill changed a lot of that. There are even more. And actually, I got a job for a short time running errands for ABC News when they came in, you know, carrying their equipment, and it was a lot of fun. It was an interesting experience to see how a big network like that doing, you know, TV shows put something like that together. And I learned a lot, and it was quite a bit of fun.
Yeah. Gail, you kind of made a point, and again, even Nat touched on it, about the money. And you said that they made a lot of money when they quit school, and they bought nice cars, and they kind of just blew it all.
Yeah.
What, did people just blow the money? I'm generalizing here, but were they kind of spoiled with the excess money that the oil spill brought and the higher wages and whatnot?
Yeah, I think so. I knew a couple kids, you know, that they have nicer cars now, but they really missed out because, you know, like they skipped school and stuff, you know. And, you know, but I don't know about the adults, you know. I don't really know about that.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, from where, compared to where I'm from, Valdez is a very rich town. You know, there are no, you know, really poor areas. I mean, it's so small, you can't have that. It's just pretty much all up there. But I didn't see as much of the kids coming off and then, you know, spending a lot of money like that.
Has it been tough? I mean, you know, I ask this question towards Nat. I mean, during the oil spill, here you are working, you know, helping out NBC News. I mean, there's a job. ABC, sorry. You know, a job that, you know, most teenagers, and like I said before the show, you're interested in, you know, in broadcasting and journalism and whatnot, and so kind of appropriate for you. What about now? I mean, now that that job's gone, and odds are that job will never be back here in Valdez for you, is it tough going out to find another work? And I was talking to someone in the station before we recorded the show, and they kind of said, yeah, people were spoiled because they were making all that money when the oil spill was here, and now they don't want to go back to working for $5 an hour flipping hamburgers. You know, is that?
Well, I just really got to the age where I could start working, and so it was, you know, just one of my first real job experiences. I had a couple before. And one of the drawbacks was that I wasn't old enough to drive a car for all their errands, you know, and so I did a lot of the stuff on my bike or just, you know, helping out and going over town, doing interviews with them. But I don't know. It was good.
Mm-hmm. When we were in Cordova, because we did that show earlier, they made a great comment about how the media, especially the big networks and people who are not from Alaska, you know, the big magazines that came in and sent reporters in, especially reporters from, you know, quote-unquote the Lower 48 who weren't familiar with Alaska, sent them town, and they didn't paint a realistic picture of what was really happening. Now you're both shaking your heads like,
yeah.
Yep, that's right.
Yes, definitely.
Well, my dad heard a few stories from people in the bar, and he'd come in with different ideas, you know, and people who were working out there and saying, oh, you got to be kidding. They're lying to us. And this one guy said that there's this waves and waves of oil coming up, and it was just so much more tremendous than what was presented toward us in the media.
So you think the media kind of undershot the whole?
Well, I can't say that because there were also opposing views saying, oh, it's not that bad. And I was outside of the Pizza Palace downtown here, and there was a guy there who had actually been working with Hazelwood. He was involved in Exxon. We got to talking to him. And I said, boy, he was one of our best guys. He was really in there. And actually, he made us believe that in a way. But I found it interesting, all the different views. And actually, some of the conflict that was struck up by this whole thing in town got pretty heavy with the DEC and Coast Guard and Exxon. It was rough.
Gail, you were shaking your head also when I asked the media question.
It's funny. I read an article, and I guess a male and a female reporter came down, and they stayed in the local village inn, and they were reporting on how it affected Valdez and how the oil spill affected Valdez. And then it seemed like all they really had to say on how crummy the room was. I mean, everybody's coming into Valdez. They're demanding rooms. They're like a whole bunch of bed and breakfasts sprung up overnight, you know, and people were renting their rooms out, their spare rooms, you know. And it seemed like all they could complain about was the big stain on the tile floor. And that quite upset me, that's all they could say, you know, and there's much more going on than they reported, that's for sure.
Well, with my dad working at the bar next to the hotel there, involved in the same area, I got to hear a lot about the problems. And they were booked, and it was really quite a mess. Just, you know, there wasn't enough space for all these people coming in. And I'd go around town and see all these tents all over the place, the empty fields along the river, tents and people. It's just, the thing filled up. The traffic was amazing. And then all the people in Valdez who are spoiled by the little bit of traffic, the little trickle that there normally is, said, oh boy, I can't take this. And it was normal to a lot of people, you know.
Right. What about other things? You know, granted, you know, you live here, so obviously you don't go to hotels often, but especially here in town. What about cost of living? I mean, what about eggs and milk and the things that you have to have here as citizens too, you know, to go down to the store? Did that all increase in price?
Not necessarily. I think you'd have to Alaskan prices for eggs and milk are amazing, from where I come from, you know. But it was okay. But you know, we're talking about how many bad things happened, you know, all of this. But for me, really, and for a lot of my friends, we were having fun. We really were, because all this came in, and there was so many things to do, you know, all these new people, and I had a lot of fun. In a way, I was actually glad it happened. You know, it was exciting.
The influx of people, or?
Yeah, the influx and what happened to it. I'm not glad about the environment or,
right,
you know, the 11 million gallons of oil out there, but it was fun.
But how so? I mean, what? Obviously, the new people, the new faces.
Yeah.
Probably new girls to meet, the whole nine yards.
Right.
Anyhow, what else? What was so different?
There's a different feeling in town. You know, everything was involved with the spill, and even now we talk about whether this happened before or after the spill. It was, it's a landmark in Valdez history, I guess, now.
Then you moved here from where in New Mexico?
Santa Fe.
Which is a fairly good, I mean, basically a big city.
Well, it's about maybe 60,000 people.
Right.
It's growing fast.
Yeah. When you first got here to Valdez, was it kind of, geez, what are we doing in such a small town?
Well, I liked it. Where I was from, it was hard to get around. It really was. You know, I don't have a car. I'm equipped with a bike. Oh, boy. But here, my bike was terrific. No problem. And so I really liked it. I was glad to be here. And then when all the people came in and I could still get around, no problem.
Right. Gail, did you kind of enjoy the influx of people, too? Or living here in Valdez all your life, you're probably more acclimated to a small town feeling. Did you not necessarily like that?
Well, it had its good points and its bad, you know. I don't know. I sort of share Nat's feeling on how it was. Not all for the bad, you know, but I don't know. I wish there was some points that were different, but then a lot of them I had fun, too.
Like, what points were different?
My job at Summer Fun, there were a lot more kids, and the kids weren't in the best conditions at all, you know, and they seemed to have a feeling they were superior or something, but then others felt that they were smaller than others. I don't know, it's just the feeling was changed about town. You know, some people were out, stupid oil spill, people coming in, you know, taking our homes, taking our food, you know, ruining our town. But then it's not their fault. And a lot of things are changed, but I enjoyed a lot of things also. Like, I got to meet more people. We had Burger King in here for a while, you know, civilization.
So it seemed like, well, we got plenty in Fairbanks. You want one?
Yeah.
Burger King in a trailer, maybe.
Yeah, and it was amazing. All these little fast food joints, just here and there, just waiting. a big thing shaped like a hot dog I saw in Anchorage just previously. And
it had to be amazing because that all happened within a span of days.
Fast food, Chinese food.
Well, Valdez was thrust into this. It was overnight in a way. And right away, we just couldn't handle it. The hotels, the food industry, I mean, absolutely everything that's necessary for existing was stressed, which put up for a lot more jobs. And actually developed a few more things in town, which will be good for us.
Entertainment kind of a things?
There's still not a whole lot of that, but yeah, it was helped.
What about, Nat, you mentioned earlier in particular the DEC, Department of Environmental Control, Exxon, different companies. Who did people, I mean, here in Valdez, you're so, I mean, the oil spill, direct, here in Fairbanks, it really didn't affect us. I mean, it did, but the oil spill we read about in the papers just like everybody else in the country in a lot of ways. A lot of people left and went down and worked on the oil spill, but it really wasn't there at home. For you here, I mean, there it is, 3 miles in front of you. There's 11 million gallons of oil washing up on your beaches. Who did you all blame, the people who live here in Valdez? I mean, I don't necessarily mean Hazelwood. I mean, did you blame DEC for not putting regulations on it before? Do you blame Exxon for not keeping an eye on Hazelwood? Do you blame Mother Nature? I mean, where does the blame kind of fall?
Well, it's split. I mean, it's a complicated thing where Hazelwood comes in and on his trunk and crashes at the tanker. I think Alyeska itself was just a little careless. They were getting so used to this run and they're pulling in all this cash. I mean, you know, it's oil industry. And they were getting careless. It's not necessarily Hazelwood that I think is at fault. It's just letting him get by with that. Mm-hmm. I mean, the people who didn't stop him. I mean, actually, my dad met the guy who serves him most of his drinks in town here.
Right.
And so it was kind of a home thing.
I don't think that it really lays blame with anybody because, I mean, accidents happen. You do anything, and there is something that's going to happen because of it. Cause, effect. I mean, I think it was just time, you know. I mean, we could have prevented it, you know. But, I mean, you walk down the road, you have a risk. You make a sandwich, you have a risk. You know, it's just happened. And with everything, you know, modernization, you know, things are going to happen. The environment's going to suffer. Mm-hmm. It's just industrialization. That's how it is.
But I think a lot of the, you know, what we should look at was what happened, you know, after. And they did a lot of that. I mean, first of all, Alyeska didn't do anything, and either did the DEC. And the Coast Guard. And so we were at first I heard the oil spill. You know, I thought it was just going to be a small thing. It's going to blow over in a week. No problem. But then we heard more and more stories. And every night it became a little bit more of a, you know, kind of like a laugh because nobody was doing anything. Mm-hmm. And the oil starts spreading more and more. And what struck me pretty strangely was how far the news went. It's like being at the epicenter of something. You don't know where the edge is, how far this goes. When I found out this was international news, I flipped. You know, I didn't know.
So here it is, your town, Valdez.
Yeah, right. And then I heard my friends back in New Mexico talking about specific things that Hazelwood did. I mean, I thought they'd never got out of Alaska. So it really surprised me how big this was.
And you mentioned something about how, because Valdez is such a small town that, you know, for instance, your father knows that, you know, people who are involved and who were, you know, who may have served Hazelwood drinks or whatever the case may be. However, people know the other people who were involved directly that night. How are they getting treated? Are they – I don't want to say they're getting blamed. I'm not saying that particular – wherever Hazelwood guy's drink, I'm not saying he's guilty. You know, I don't want to get into any legal things. How are those people treated in such a small town?
The people involved with Hazelwood? There was conflict. I mean, none of the town was on one side. There are a lot of people working for the Coast Guard and the three groups, the DEC and then the Alyeska. Everybody had to admit, I mean, more like Exxon, really. I can't say Alyeska, sorry. but everybody finally had to admit that Exxon messed up. You know, even the people who were pro-Exxon. Because I think they were a little careless. It's just something that there's no excuse for, really. There's oil out there, and there's a lot of it.
And I'm not hoping in any which way or form to pose, you know, who was right and who was wrong tonight. I mean, that's being decided in court, you know, that's coming up, and that's not for us to decide sitting here necessarily. What about one of the problems, you know, with all this money floating around, and like Gail said earlier, people getting cars and whatnot, in all the people coming in, what about, you know, more social problems here in town? When I guess the bottom line is, what about, like, drugs and alcohol, that kind of things in this town? Was that, Gail, you're rolling your eyes. Was that kind of a, obviously the new money brought new people who perhaps brought, you know.
It was elevated. You could tell. I mean, there are very little bit of drugs in town. It's not a problem. Mm-hmm. People try and make it into a problem in Valdez. But compared to other places, Valdez is not a problem.
You mean normal, like in the winter?
As far as drugs go, it's small, and it's a trickle. But when the spill came in, it was increased. It really was.
Gail, do you disagree with what Nat's opinion on the drug problem here is?
Well, I've lived here for 13 years, and I do believe there is a pretty big problem here. I mean, kids, I always hear people saying that there's nothing here to do in Valdez. I can't wait until I graduate and get out of here so I can do something. And it's what you make of it. And there's parties every weekend, you know, and I've seen this stuff. I'm totally straight, and I still... That's what everybody lives for, is every weekend, so we can go out and get smashed and stoned.
It's just because they're bored, because it's a small town?
I guess. And they think it's big, and this is what I don't understand.
I agree with Gail. It's just what you make it. I mean, I like it here now, because it's actually an attitude of being able to enjoy a small town like this. But, Gail, you've lived here for 13 years. I mean, you've never been exposed to anything else. When I was in 7th grade, my friends had little plastic baggies full of speed. You know, at lunchtime, you go around the corner. None of that happens. It's a small problem. If you look at the whole thing, it's a very small problem here. I mean, it is, but...
But that's there. This is here now.
I think we're seeing this, like we saw in some other questions. Nat coming from the bigger city, you know, and Gail from the smaller city. That's just different attitudes from different cities.
Well, if you're going to fix it, go for the bigger stuff first, and then after everything's cleared, then try stuff places like Valdez.
Right.
You know, there are other places in Alaska which are really in trouble, but this is okay.
We're so isolated. I think we can do something about it, though. You know, you could see a stereotype hooker walking down the street. I mean, that that person looks a little suspicious.
That's not normal, Valdez.
But you know, you haven't been exposed really to, you know, everything. I mean, people in the Valdez started to get a little prejudice for. I mean, I have a little bit of a different viewpoint because I just got here.
Right.
You know, and I see a little bit more, and I see that the people here are a little spoiled, and then they don't really take newcomers that are strange all too well. It's tight.
Is it? Was it tough to get involved in when you first moved here from?
No, it was very easy. I mean, I had there was nothing, I guess, that people could say, oh, look at him, he's a bad guy, you know? Because, I mean, you know, I'm clean, or it's the type of thing. They accepted me a lot better than I thought they would.
Now, what if you would have moved here, you know, what if you had lived in Santa Fe and your father came up here to work on the oil spill and he dragged you along? Would they have accepted you as easily because you were here for the oil spill? I see Gail shaking her head.
I don't think so. It's hard to say. I had been here before. I came right before the oil spill. And a lot of people thought, oh, you're here for the spill. But it was a real pure coincidence for me.
You just kind of happened to show up?
Yeah.
Gail, you're shaking your head no when I asked that question. Did they discriminate against people who came up here for the oil spill?
I think they did, because there's a lot of kids in school still that are waiting for the next summer to work on, you know, their parents are waiting for the next summer to work on the spill. And, you know, I think everybody's had a little bit of discrimination against them. Oh, stupid oil spill kids, stupid oil spill people ruining our town. I've heard a lot of that.
But it isn't just against the oil spill people. I mean, it's a conflicting
Exxon,
thing.
Everybody.
Not the town isn't sided and one side. It's many different conflicts arise. But for what happened, it was a big conflict, but it was actually a lot less than what I thought it could be.
Mm-hmm.
People were pretty straightforward. I mean, there were some bad places, but yeah, everything was handled pretty well.
Unfortunately, we're already at 30 minutes, and so that's already the end. Thank you very much for coming in, especially on such short notice. We got a break in the weather, and so we headed off to Valdez to do a show. Really appreciate coming in and talking tonight. What about next year? Real quick, we only have a few seconds. Is the oil spill claim going to be as big next year? Is that what the rumor mill is predicting?
Well, I heard a lot about a big thing, you know, Exxon coming back in March. And some people say it's going to be nothing. Some people say everything's going to be back, and it's going to be just a small version of last year. I mean, this last summer. So, it's hard to say, but it's going to be big.
I've heard maybe more, you know, even bigger, and I've heard less, and I've heard about the same. I don't know. We'll just have to wait and see.
We'll just find out.
Yeah, and so hopefully get everything cleaned up. Well, thank you very much for coming in again. I really appreciate it. And good luck this summer, wherever. If you decide to go back to work, the same full spot again. So, anyhow, thank you again. And that's been everything for Straight Talk tonight from Valdez, Alaska. So until next Wednesday night, I'm Bill Campbell. Good night. That's a whole different thing from the oil spill. Well, back onto the oil spill.